From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and suzzle everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hi there, Bob. It's great to be here. Another week, another episode of Bob After Dark, where, well, we talk about a lot of stuff here, Bob, don't we?
Specifically the paranormal, things that go bump in the night, legends, lore, supernatural.
Good to clarify that, yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. No, but for sure, another week of Bob After Dark, and I know depending on, well, if you're probably watching this on a Tuesday, but Bob,
if you're watching the live show,
it's always a good time for a casual Friday, if you ask me. So great to have you here.
I saw that shirt. You're enjoying a casual Friday.
I'm being ironic.
On a Tuesday.
I'm being ironic.
Or
here,
lazy.
Bob.
I don't know what the difference is between the two.
You could wear the shirt any day of the week, and it plays off well.
It plays off well?
Yeah, it plays off well. But as we get the word out that Bob After Dark is now starting, share.
That's I share just, around. You know, I got my two in. So I was pretty impressed about that.
I just got my one in, so
excellent.
We're good.
So we got
too.
The 2-1. Yeah. So let's start the show off correct. What's up with your weekend update, Count Panic?
Bob, it was a nice, restful weekend, of course, coming off the heels of a birthday in the middle of the week.
That's it. It's always exciting stuff.
So, you know, I think when your birthday falls on a Wednesday, it just carries on over to the weekend. So it was a long, extended birthday weekend. But it was nice, well-rested, of course. And the weather was perfect outside here in the region, northwest Indiana, Chicagoland area, the Midwest for the broader range of folks out there.
It was,
but it was beautiful.
It was warm by me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you do anything exciting?
Nothing exciting, but I did go outside and walked around a little bit.
Did you walk somewhere fun?
Just in circles.
just decide, you know what? I'm walking in circles.
Yeah,
today.
No, it was fine. But again, a well-rested weekend. I can't complain. The
That's
weather
good.
Was nice, and for a vampire like me, you know, vampires are known to not like the sun, but I don't mind it sometimes.
You're
a little bit of sun's nice.
Absolutely.
How about you, Bob?
So my weekend update.
Oh, you, well, Bob,
actually,
you had a fantastic weekend.
I actually did something this weekend.
You did a lot.
I did, yeah. So I took a couple days off from the day job because, well, everybody needs a break once in a while, and I didn't have to worry about the show as much. I know we're a little late on the podcast upload, guys. I will be ready for that here shortly. I went down to Indianapolis, Count Panic.
Indianapolis?
Yeah, the capital of the state.
What'd you do
Indiana.
In Indianapolis?
I went on an investigation to the Hannah House.
Did you?
Yeah, so quick shout out to Pete Greist and the Northwest Indiana Paranormal Team. I got to go hang out with them for the evening on Saturday to go do an investigation there. And then it was kind of like a double bubble investigation because we also went to the Slippery Noodle.
Slippery Noodle?
The Slippery Noodle. It was a John Dillinger's hangout spot,
really?
Supposedly, allegedly.
Well, he was. He slipped out a lot of situations.
And one of his hiding places when he was in Indianapolis was that bar. Hmm. And it's a really interesting place because they have like the tunnels under the bar that you can, you know, you don't get access to unless you're me and you get a chance to ask around to the right people. But we got a chance to do the wandering through the tunnels, and we got to see the upstairs like in area where people, you know, stayed at one point, and it was a brothel, and people, you know, it's said to be haunted by several spirits. So it's a really cool experience to be at the Slippery Noodle. I had me a grilled cheese, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
And how was the grilled cheese?
It was a decent grilled cheese. I was rather impressed.
Four cheese?
No, just one.
One cheese.
Just one cheese.
Are you not into the four cheese grilled cheese?
Just give me one cheese on a some one cheese.
One good cheese.
One good cheese. And then we went. I actually got to spend the weekend with my friend Jacob, our friend of the show. Actually, Jacob was the one who, the OG designer of the Bob After Dark logo that we have all grown in love over the the time span we've been around, and it was really cool to see have Jacob do that for him.
The one on your bottle right there.
Yeah, on the one on the bottle. So Jacob was, I got to spend some time with Jacob. He was my housing, not guest. He was my housing host. So I got to stay with Jacob and his family, which was really, really nice. And this was my first, like, big outing, you know, pandemic-wise.
Yeah.
Everybody was all vaccinated, so it was safe and sound there. And it was just a really cool experience, and I had a really lovely time. So thank you to Northwest Indiana Paranormal for hosting us, and thank you to Jacob and the Circle City Ghostbusters for being a good good home away from home, as they always are.
Sound like a great time. But Bob, I gotta ask you, and I think people want to know, did you find anything?
So the investigation itself was a lot of fun. We so our host, Scott, he was an interesting cat. He was everything you could have ever imagined in, like, a horror movie setting for, like, somebody to kind of let you into the haunted house, right?
He yeah.
This,
good evening.
He had this way of, like, kind of wandering around and telling stories, and it was really cool because, like, he knew where everybody stayed and everybody slept in that house over the past, like, 150 years the house has been there. So he knew, oh, this was this person's room, this was this person's room, this is where all the spiritual activity is, this is where, you know, this happened. And he was very, very, very knowledgeable, which was really cool to, like, have that experience in that house. The house itself was gorgeous. It's something I could live in happily and easily. It was a beautiful home. We talked about that on the episode last week, so podcast fans, you can go back an episode to the Hannah House episode where I talked a little bit about that, and we had a really good time. So the crowd was good, the energy was good. There wasn't a whole lot going on there. The weirdest thing that happened to me, and this is something I'm still trying to put together.
Okay.
So at one point, Pete was leading the investigation and asked us to go sit in separate rooms for 10 minutes just to see if we can get some activity in hallways or if it wanted to isolate us for some reason. And of course I chose the basement because, you know, why not? So I took the basement, and Jacob's first investigation was this weekend. So we took Jacob for his first investigation. And Pete's like, oh, you can hang out with Bob in the basement and the other part of the basement because it's separated by doors. So Jacob wasn't, you know, thrown into an empty room by himself in this house for his first investigation. So we're sitting down in the basement, and I'm talking to Jacob. I'm like, you know, he's like, this is what you do, huh? I'm like, yeah, this is what I do. And we're sitting down there, and the mood in the basement was so off. It was just, it was weird. You know, you're sitting in a really dark room, and you're just kind of sitting there, right? And, you know, Jacob and I are kind of chatting with each other through the, like, doorway, just, you know, checking in on each other. I'm like, you doing okay over there? Because this is first time.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I want to make sure he's doing okay. So I talked to Jacob. I'm like, you doing okay over there? He's like, yeah, you doing okay? And I'm like, no, I'm feeling anxious. Now, when it comes to investigations, I don't get anxious. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'd rather, in the great words of Kitsy Duncan, I'd rather talk to dead people.
Oh.
You know, I'd rather be in an investigation doing something spooky or talking to dead people in this regard than I would the living. And I know we're safe in that house. So there's no reason for me to get anxious. Maybe it was my lack of water. Maybe it's because I was wearing a long sleeve shirt. Now it's really, really hot. It could have been a combination of things, but I started feeling really anxious when I was down in the basement. And I was kind of chatting it up, and I called over the walkie. I'm like, you guys doing okay throughout the house? And everyone's checking in saying, yeah, there was a couple people who weren't. But I started hearing this, like, weird, almost hissing noise.
Hissing.
Hissing. Not like a snake, but and not like a person, like, hissing at you. It was mechanical.
Mechanical.
It was a mechanical hissing noise, and it really freaked me out. It was a scary experience. And right after that hissing noise, I started hearing a beep. And we have equipment down in the basement in the area I was at to pick up on any kind of paranormal activity, right? So, I mean, I looked over, and it was none of our equipment that was making a beeping noise, but something was making a beeping noise. So I called over to Jacob. I'm like, that's not right. He's like, it sounds like a carbon monoxide detector. I'm like, all right, we're out. So me and Jacob call over the walkie. I'm like, hey, we got a problem. We're going to go upstairs and go talk to the caretaker. So we went upstairs, talked to the caretaker of the house, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm just giving you a heads up in case we got to evacuate the house. Are the carbon monoxide detector, you know, you got anything down there like that? He's like, I have a centralized one that kind of keeps track of the whole house, but the ones in the basement have not had batteries in them for a very long time.
Interesting.
The paranormal theory I got in that situation was, is there something going on that I was, that it triggered that? It was, so the hissing noise we heard was the boiler. That was figured out. But Jacob and I, Jacob's on the skeptical side of things. We could not put together what happened down in that basement that night. And why did these detectors go off when they're not working? Those have been out of commission for a long time. There's an updated system in the house because it's a bigger house. So you need to make sure that things are well protected. And no, so this thing set off these alarms as if it didn't want me there. And was trying to scare me off, which it totally did. It played off my anxiety pretty well. And that's a legitimate thing that happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, and there's no really explanation behind it either, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my story.
All right.
Minus that, though, the investigation was fun. So I, you know, the common meme of the night, the common joke of the night of the investigation was I brought a spoon. Well, I shouldn't say.
Oh, that's right. You talked about this last.
Yeah, there's the spoon. So the lady of the house, the spirit is known to throw spoons at people if she's angry with you. So I got a spoon. We're not going to tell the story of how I got the spoon, but I got a spoon and I brought it with me to the investigation. And I set the spoon down in different rooms of the house and I said, move that spoon. No, the spoon never moved. Spoon never moved.
No. Well, it happens. But
so that was a
hit
fun
or miss.
That was a fun moment.
Hit
the,
or miss.
The investigation.
I'm glad you had fun.
Casey in the chat says she sat in the room with the spoon. So I brought the trigger object. The trigger object of the evening was that spoon.
Yeah, I gotta give a shout out to those guys though at Northwest Indiana Paranormal.
Oh, they got it figured out.
And the next day, I saw they were cleaning up the house. They were doing some spring cleaning.
I know. I had to get back home.
I know, but
I had to. But they were. They did. They did, volunteered yeah, some yeah. time to get the house done. So that was really cool of them. And I was very excited. Very excited to see them get that stuff
yeah,
done. So they did. They're good. They're good people. They're one of the best investigative groups I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
In fact, probably. Well, they're one of the best investigation groups I've ever worked with. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and sure, there's been many.
And I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of their work, and it's my group. That's my home group when I do investigative work. So big shout out to them.
Hey, Bob. Bob.
Yes.
Before we go any further, there's something we got to acknowledge.
Okay.
I just mentioned at the top of the show, had a good birthday weekend, but one of our very own biggest fans. And I neglected my Facebook duty to wish him a happy birthday today. I'm sorry about that. One of our biggest fans has a birthday today. Jacob Foreman.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jacob.
I forgot
Foreman.
To say happy birthday on
good,
Facebook.
Good
I feel
job,
bad
Cal.
Now. So
good job, Cal.
This
Patty.
Is a shout out to you, Jacob Foreman. Happy birthday. Probably one of our you say one of our first fans as well for Bob After Dark. I think so, possibly there. But it's his birthday, and hopefully celebrating with some cheese curds there. So.
And sausage.
Had to get that. I had to get to say that, Bob, because I felt bad.
Happy birthday.
I know.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, Count Panic.
Yeah.
If this is your first time ever watching or listening to another, to your first time ever watching or listening, Bob After Dark, we are your weekly podcast where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural. Things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, cryptid sightings, and Count Panic's favorite cheese curd.
I love cheese curds. Four cheese curds.
Four cheese curds.
Somebody's got to have that out there.
I'm sure it exists.
Yeah.
So this is the show where you guys can enjoy a little bit of learning about the paranormal as Count Panic learns with you, and I spin the tales of the weird and macabre and spooky and occulty of the world. Mm-hmm. And Count Panic gives you his raw input on the story with the hashtag Panic's Take that we get throughout the episode.
Yeah. And I'm excited to give you my take.
You know, someone asked me, they're like, oh, what's Bob After Dark about? And I was trying to think of, like, the best way to describe it, you know, because you look at other really good paranormal podcasts, like Ghostly's got a shtick to it. They debate the ghost story. And it's like, what's our shtick? And it's like, I teach Count Panic, and I think he learns with the audience. I think that's
I learn as I go, Bob.
Count Panic, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You and I have a great relationship. It's like Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin.
Yes.
Abbott and Costello.
The Three Stooges.
And there's only two of us right now.
Oh, two Stooges. Eventually, right?
Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis.
Sure.
With you being Jerry Lewis, I guess.
Ladies.
Yeah, ladies. All right, let's dive right in. So half of the episode we spend talking about the weird, spooky news of the week. This is where you, the fans, or me, the Bob, track down some weird news articles I find in the world. These news articles are anything paranormal-based, weird advances in science that borderline on science fiction, or just a general overall creepy tone to them. And lately I've been having a treasure trove of archives straight from our mothership show, Coast to Coast. Our lovely friend Tim Binal, which we need to reach out to Tim Binal to get him on the show. Mm. We have to get Tim Binal on the show because Tim writes every news article for Coast to Coast I have found. So lately, there's several treasure troves, as I call them, when I do the research for the articles when the fans don't send one in. And usually one of my first places I go is Coast to Coast because their articles are really, really well written, and it's always by Tim Binal. So Tim, if you're listening to the episode, just know I appreciate your work on the Coast to Coast website and the news articles.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's probably our top worker over there at Coast to Coast as far as writing articles and getting them out there. I think that guy needs a raise as far as the article.
I would say so. George, if you're listening right now, which maybe you are.
Maybe.
George, if you're listening right now, give Tim Binal a raise and tell Tim we want him on the show. And while you're at it, I'd like to be on Coast to Coast.
And we'd like you on Bob After Dark as well.
If I got George Norrie on the show, they're not.
Crossover.
That would be the crossover of the century, if you will. All right, so this first news article is a body of a missing man was discovered inside a Stegosaurus statue in Spain.
Huh.
Oh, it's not a happy story, but it's still strange nonetheless. An unfortunate man in Spain perished after he climbed into a Stegosaurus statue to retrieve his lost cell phone and wound up stuck inside the piece. Mm. The unsettling turn of events reportedly came to light over the weekend when a father and a son were playing near this sizable papier-mâché dinosaur seen in the photo that sits outside the disused cinema in the municipality of Santa Coloma de Gramenet. Sorry, folks, don't speak Spanish, but that's SantaColomaDeGramenet. What ought to have been a fun outing took a dark turn when the pair suddenly saw something odd-looking inside the statue and promptly phoned the police. When officers arrived on the scene, they quickly determined that the out-of-place object was, well, in fact, a dead body. Examining the gruesome situation, police say that the remains were located in one of the thawed dinosaur legs that appeared as if the man, who had been reported missing by the family earlier in the day, his body had somehow lost the cell phone in the piece and had been attempting to retrieve it. The unnamed individual predicament sounded particularly late nightmare wish, as authorities noted, it looked like he entered the statue headfirst and couldn't get out. Chillingly, comps indicated that the man was probably stuck inside the Stegosaurus for a couple days, leaving the surmise as final moments were both terrifying and likely quite maddening, since he clearly could not reach his phone to call for help.
Hmm.
What a horrifying story.
Yeah, terrible.
Like, man, yeah, I don't really have much to say other than that. Hashtag panic stake.
That's the thing, Bob, when these situations arise and you lose something and it seems like it's a risky situation. I mean, your life is not worth a cell phone, Bob.
It's not, no.
You see people going out of their way to try to retrieve their wallet, retrieve a cell phone, retrieve something else, and they're put in a risky situation again.
There are places
not worth it.
No, and what just a Stegosaurus statue too, man. That's terrible.
Yeah,
I felt bad. I felt really bad reading that article, and it's just a, you know, I mean it is what it is.
No, for sure. Well, again, I can't stress that enough. Don't worry about your phone. You could get a new phone.
I'll break that Stegosaurus open and get it back.
And chances are, though, you know, your contacts will be saved. We live in a world where there's a lot of technology, so don't worry, your lost phone, get a new one, everything will be in it, Bob. So that's my PSA here for today.
Good PSA.
Yeah, thank you.
That's the hashtag panic
state. That's my hashtag right there.
All right, let's move on. This next story, once again from Tim Benall.
Oh, nice.
A woman in England accuses her neighbor of unleashing a ghost upon her home.
Wow.
In a weird story out of England, cops were forced to briefly become ghostbusters after they received a call from a woman who accused her neighbor of sending a sinister spirit into her home. The odd incident reportedly occurred around midnight on Friday in the community of Haywards Heath, when a resident phoned 999, which is the British equivalent of America's 911, with a rather bizarre complaint. According to Darren Taylor of the Mid-Sussex Police, a concerned woman called the emergency number to report that their neighbor had sent a ghost into their house to haunt them.
Okay, I'm following.
Unfortunately for the woman who believed that she was the target of a supernatural attack, it seems that there was little that the police could do about it, surprisingly. Instead, they simply provided... This is my favorite part. Instead, they simply provided some reassuring words, presumably suggesting that her home was not infested by a sinister spirit, and offered some, quote, words of advice when it comes to the necessities of an emergency to call to the police. We all get kinds of weird and wonderful calls to 999, Taylor said about the incidents. But people need to be aware that when they call an emergency number, they are blocking people from getting through who are in a real emergency. Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you would think, well, for some people, this is an emergency. I mean, you think your neighbor or somebody, maybe a relative or anybody else, unleashes a ghost onto you. That's a cause of concern. So I could take their side on this, Bob. I think I would call 911 too and say, hey, somebody set a ghost in my household here. So I can't blame them, can you? I mean, they're doing... Who else are you going to call? I mean, I get 911. They're busy over there. Of course, they got a lot of things going on, but this is my personal problem, and a ghost is a big concern. So I would do the same, Bob. I would do the same. I could tell you wouldn't, though.
You would call the cops.
I would call the cops. Who are you going to call? Don't answer that, Bob.
I feel like you're baiting me for this.
About who you're going to call?
I feel like you're baiting me for an answer, and I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
But I know you would live to learn with the ghost. You wouldn't call anybody.
Well, it depends on what the spirit's intentions are. First off, if someone's releasing a spirit into my home, do you have something better to do than to haunt me? I don't want to deal with it. And I mean, I could send it right out if I had to, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's one. That's one.
Okay.
Two, what did you do to relentlessly get so mad that you have to send a sinister spirit into their home? Like, you hear of some stories of neighbors getting mad and, like, putting garbage when the recycling goes in, or you're stealing someone's lawnmower.
Yeah,
it's like, at what point do you just get that mad at your neighbor where it's like, I'm sending a ghost in?
Well, I mean, for some people, I'm sure they would like to. I don't think they know how to send a ghost into maybe their neighbor's household, but it's better than, I guess, slashing their tires. I don't know. But again, I think I would call 911 too, Bob. There's a ghost in my house.
Okay, listen. So, guys, let's have a quick chat. This is some Bob After Dark 101 haunting tips.
Advice,
okay?
Yeah.
This is some Bob After Dark advice, okay? One, if you believe that your home is haunted by a spirit, do not call the police. The police are not going to be able to help you out because you're calling the police who are busy dealing with police problems, not paranormal problems. Mm. If you believe that your home is being broken into in a situation where you believe that you're dealing with a haunting, there's a level of dealing with a haunting and then dealing with fill in the blank, right? So if you believe your house is being burglarized or being invaded, yeah, you should probably call the police. But as far as that's concerned, I wouldn't do it.
No. Well, I'm just saying.
But in that case, then you call the professionals. If you believe that your house is haunted, then you call your local paranormal team.
Can you find that in the phone book?
You can Facebook, you can Google the area that you live, space, paranormal investigations.
Okay.
And I could guarantee and tell you that you will find somebody within driving distance that's going to be crazy enough to go to your house and check these things out.
No.
And if you're lucky enough to find a group that's really, really passionate about what they do and understand the difference between a haunting and an exposed wire in your home, then maybe, just maybe, you're going to be able to get out of this situation okay.
Quite possibly.
We have a caller.
We do. We have a Jake on the line. Jake.
Jake, you're on the phone there.
Hey there, Bob. Hey, Panic. I had to give you guys a call and say thank you for the birthday wishes.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
I felt bad, Jacob, because I didn't do it on Facebook, which is the polite thing to do nowadays.
You could have just lied and said you were saving it for the show.
I'm saving it for the show. Save it for the show.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Well, just thank you again. Of course, you know, I'm watching the show and everything, and, you know, I'm pretty sure you're going to mention it, but the Blood Moon tomorrow.
Yes, I wasn't. Actually, I skipped that in my notes, so thank you, Jacob.
There you go.
Thanks for the reminder, buddy.
No problem. I'll have my crystals and moon water ready.
Excellent. So. That's great, man.
Blood Moon.
Well, thank you for calling in, Jacob.
Yes, thank you again.
Have a good one.
And, yeah, you too. Bye.
How about that, Jacob, right there?
You know, we got to start. I was actually just thinking about this today. This is a quick side note. Maybe we start the Bob After Dark Birthday Club, where people send in their birthdays and we wish them a happy birthday on the show.
It's like the Pizza Hut Birthday Club, where they give you a free pan pizza.
Listen, guys, I haven't turned a profit enough to keep me and Count Panic on the payroll just yet. So
we can get him a pan pizza.
You could get a drink, get a bottle of water or something. But that was an idea I had. Anyway,
he's saying the Blood Moon is tomorrow.
Yes, we have a Blood Moon and a Blood Moon eclipse tomorrow.
That's rare, right?
That's pretty rare. That's like a astronomical, cosmic stuff. So not only are we dealing with a blood moon, not only are we dealing with a blood moon lunar eclipse, Mercury's going into retrograde.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's the top of that.
Absolutely. And some people are saying that it's time for the Gemini season as well. Oh. And so energy might be a bit wonky right now. But
for tomorrow, though, I mean, can we say for sure the veil is at its thinnest?
The veil will be fluctuating tomorrow. It's going to be an interesting time. Bob's actually going to go out and make some moon water tomorrow.
You got to give advice on that. So what do you do for that?
There's a whole video Anthony made. It's on our page somewhere. But
we got to refresh that.
Okay.
Reshare.
Maybe I'll do something later in the show.
Sure.
We got to move on.
All right. Continue.
I'm looking forward to going out and making some moon water tomorrow. Thank you, Jacob, for reminding me, because I completely skipped over that in my notes by accident.
Yeah. Happens to the best of us.
All right, so let's just crank that that story back here real quick with finishing up with the sending a sinister spirit into someone's home.
Yeah,
this is my final bit of my PSA, and I appreciate Jacob calling in so we could wish him the happy birthday again.
Yeah.
But this is where this is where it ends right here. If you are angry at your neighbor, there are things you should do, and there's things that you shouldn't do. Sending a ghost into their home, if you're a practitioner, you're just lucky enough to know how to summon a spirit at will, a demon, a fetch, whatever it might be, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Because, man, you're going to scare these people, and you don't know how that's going to be, and you don't know what you're summoning sometimes, and it's just going to get messy. And then I have to come in, and people are paying me to go exercise their house for them, and then I'm going to get grumpy with you because I'm eventually going to find out that you did it. And then I'm going to come over and wag my finger at you and be like, stop that. Don't be summoning fetches into somebody's house.
Now, what about the old traditional way of dressing up as a ghost and pretending to haunt?
That's a good way of getting shot.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that.
Okay. Well, in the old movies, they used to get people out of homes.
Yeah, I know. Just don't do that.
Okay.
And not shot, but you might get beat up. You might get arrested for breaking and entering. You never know. That I don't advise that. That's low on my list of things you should do.
The old ghost on a clothesline trick.
Ooh, spooky. So don't do that.
All right.
You ready for the last news story
of
the week? All right. So our last news story is a actual old pal of yours, Count Panic, may have been spotted in Ohio.
Really?
Yeah. Once again, written by Tim Banal of Coast to Coast. A Sasquatch was spotted by a woman in Ohio. An Ohio woman was left shaken after she exited her local gym following a workout and spotted what she believes was a Sasquatch lurking at the edge of the parking lot. According to a local media report, the eerie encounter late last month, as unnamed witnesses was leaving the Warehouse 24-hour gym in the community of Ashland at approximately midnight. While en route to her car, she heard a twig snap and, turning her attention to the area where the sound had originated, was stunned to see an approximately 7-foot-tall creature covered in gray fur. It would appear that the oddity also saw her as quickly fled the scene with a tremendous speed. The incident was so traumatic for the college student that she actually drove to the nearby Bob Evans restaurant and phoned her family in tears. The woman recounted the sighting to them and requested that they come pick her up because she was too distressed to drive her own car home. Her stepfather, who reported the sighting to the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, or BFRO, lamented that it was a terrifying experience for her and indicated that he went to the area the next day to go look around but he only found many old deer tracks but no imprints of the creature she saw. After speaking to the woman and her stepfather, the BFRO founder, Matt Moneymaker, concluded that they were both credible. This is not a hoax report. He indicated that the witness was certain that the creature was not merely a person in costume, and that had the speed of which fled the area was particularly unnerving to her because it would move incredibly fast. Moneymaker also noted that there is a fairly large swamp located not too far away from the spot where the sight occurred, suggesting that the creature had emanated from there and was perhaps in search of a deer to eat. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the most troubling aspect in this case, however, centers around humans rather than cryptids, as Moneymaker explained that the woman told some of her coworkers and friends about the sighting and, as so often happens with witnesses, she became the subject of ridicule. Having already been traumatized by the unsettling experience, the teasing began too much to bear, and she could not only not have her name removed from the report, but is also not longer wishes to participate in any further investigation. She isn't backing off with what she claimed that she saw, Moneymaker stressed, but the college student also, quote, doesn't want people who may be ignorant making fun of her.
Interesting.
Hashtag panic steak. And I got a soapbox moment coming up here, folks. Okay. But let's get this one first.
That's the thing, though. People think you're crazy when you see a Sasquatch, and it's quite the normal thing. And I know, Bob, we kind of had a little fun at the old Sasquatch bit, maybe in the fall time when we went around.
You look a lot familiar, like some guy I co-hosted a travel show.
Yeah,
with
you're
once.
Right.
You look really familiar. Guy? I don't know who that guy
but
was.
But this one guy, you mentioned Moneymaker. Isn't this guy the expert in when it comes to these Sasquatches?
I'm sorry?
This is a Moneymaker guy.
He's in charge of the investigative like group. They're like
he's a big deal, though.
He's a big deal in that community, yeah. And yeah. When it comes to Bigfooting, he's the guy.
So don't laugh at this person. They bring in the experts, and the experts, of course, know if the Sasquatch is here. It's But we go back and forth. Are Sasquatch friendly? Are they not friendly? If you run into one, what happens?
Right.
What do you do if you run into a Sasquatch? Play dead?
Yeah. I mean, there's many different theories of what it could be.
Because here's the problem.
Heard violence. I've heard not like you performing violence, but I've heard Sasquatch getting violent. I have heard many different things in my time.
Because here's the problem, Bob. Yep. Everybody wants to find Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, but right. They never know what to do when they find a Sasquatch.
Some people say that you just kind of keep quiet. Some say you run. Don't approach them because they're obviously stronger and bigger than you, right?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can't outpower a Sasquatch.
I certainly cannot either.
No.
That's not my MO.
Challenge it to our arm wrestling match? Probably not.
Something like that.
But that's my take, Bob. I don't know. But he seems like he's the leading expert, so it's good that they brought him in. But what's your soapbox moment, Bob?
I feel bad for the witness. Mm. Okay, folks, this is a legitimate true-to-life statement, and I don't care if you're on the believer side, I don't care if you're on the skeptic side, because I have friends that are both. And I have friends and fans that are on both sides of the scale. You should never ridicule somebody for something that they believe they saw. There's a level of, you know, ridicule, and, you know, like maybe poking fun at, like, oh, sure you did, right? But a constant ridicule to where this person is now wanting to retract names from reports and just all of that, that's depressing. how are you going to say that what they saw might not have been credible? Even if you don't believe in that sort of a thing, it's worth just listening to. And when you ridicule somebody, things like that could turn really sour really fast. And then you're on the borderline fence of bullying, which we don't, I ain't got time for that. I don't tolerate it, especially not on this show. But people's reports have to be taken seriously, even from people like me that research this stuff and kind of follow up as an investigator. No matter how crazy the claim is, I'll still listen. There's times when I've heard stories that I know are blatantly wrong and false, but you don't disregard that to somebody's face. You know, you don't ridicule them and bully them and make them feel bad about it. You know, people encounter things that are weird a lot. You know, and in this case, this person was legitimately frightened by it. This wasn't something, you know, this wasn't a simple encounter where it's just like, oh, hi, you know, I have, never mind, I won't quote that story. But, you know, it's not like that. This person legitimately had fear because of their circumstance, because of their encounter. It scared them. And you're going to make fun of something that legitimately frightened them, even if it wasn't a Sasquatch, which this person believes might have been one. Don't do that. And this goes back to one of my favorite paranormal stories of all time with the, you know, the Loveland Frog story. That cop got fired.
Yeah.
You know, that's the legitimate truth behind the fact that it's depressing. That is a depressing thing to hear about. And I feel so bad for this witness that they went through that kind of ridicule after they made the sighting, you know, the reported sighting said. Well, that's just my soapbox. You got to trust people's beliefs sometimes.
People get fearful of them reporting this stuff now, Bob.
Absolutely.
Because their fear of being judged. That's the thing. You know, people like to paint the certain community, like, say, a Sasquatch community, as crazy. But they didn't experience them themselves, so what do they know? Very well could have been a Sasquatch out there, Bob.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's my soapbox.
That's your soapbox. That's my last story.
Get off your soapbox there, Bob.
I'm getting off. Okay. So we have a review.
We do.
We have a review.
Oh.
We have a 5-star review.
I got a drink.
Yes, you do. All right. So, folks, the big thing we need right now in the podcast land is 5-star reviews on the Apple Podcasts. And we have a 5-star review in the Apple Podcasts. We haven't had one in a while. So we have to honor said person that left us said 5-star review.
All right.
All right, so this review comes to us from ACG Paranormal, and they titled the review, Listen, Learn, and Laugh. This is one of my favorite podcasts. Every time I listen, I learn something new. If you are looking for paranormal news, great stories, and some good laughs, look no further. Short, simple, sweet, and to the point.
Wow.
So thank you, ACG Paranormal, for the review. This one's for you.
There you go. A toast.
Thank you for leaving that 5-star review.
Yes, ACG, thank you very much.
What are you drinking, Count?
Iced coffee.
Iced coffee at 9 o'clock at night, 9:40?
A small iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Man, that would keep me... I'm not a caffeine person like that, but that'd keep me wired.
But you got to get pepped up for the show, Bob.
Well, I'm pepped up. Okay. I'm pepped up on natural Bob energy.
Natural? Can I buy a bottle of that anywhere?
I don't think you could just buy natural Bob energy.
That'd be something. You don't need caffeine when you got natural Bob energy. But yes, 5-star review. Thank you, ACG, once again. I'll do a second toast to that, Bob.
Oh, thank you, Comrade. Right. Now, folks, if you guys want to get yourself toasted on the live show, if you guys can, make sure to go over to Apple Podcasts. Make a quick account, even if you don't listen to us on Apple Podcasts. Make the account, leave a 5-star review, and move forward.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll take it.
Absolutely.
Very good.
All right, Count.
Yeah.
You want to take a quick break?
Right now?
Yeah.
Sure, we could take one.
All right. Folks, stick around for our live fans. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, stick around. You're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Join myself, Kitsy Duncan, and my co-host, Nick Floyd, every week as we talk about all things weird, paranormal, and what might be an unhealthy obsession with Bigfoot. We're not here to creep you out. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Find the award-winning, sometimes hilarious, sometimes woo-woo, sometimes a hot mess, Oddity Files, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Hi, Count.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
I'm doing good.
Good.
What'd you do during break?
During the break, Bob, I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad I asked.
I went back to Dunkin' Donuts and I ordered 20 more cups of these iced coffees. They got them in the back right now. So by the end of the show, I'm going to be really wired.
You're about to see Count Panic being able to smell colors and see sounds.
How about you, Bob?
You know, Count Panic, I had an interesting break because I actually went whitewater rafting, which is why I'm rocking this sweet man bun tonight.
You did what now?
I went whitewater rafting.
Did you?
I did.
Where at?
Areas. We were looking for Bigfoot.
Good.
Undisclosed areas. I can't share my Bigfoot hunting grounds, but I even decided to rock the man bun tonight because I went whitewater rafting.
You know, some say the man bun will never go out of style.
I'd say so. Do we have a caller? Like, I didn't even come back from break yet, and we got a caller.
You got a caller.
We got a caller.
We got John on the line.
John, you're calling in late.
You know, I never was the first caller to call after a break, so you could mark me down as the first caller ever to call after a break.
Literally during the break you called, I think.
And I kindly, you know, sort of timed that, too, because I wanted to go into books as not only as a frequent caller, but a caller, first caller to call after a break.
How about that?
So what's on your mind tonight, John?
You know what? I never really realized that John Dillinger was from the Indianapolis area.
I don't think he was born there, was he?
Was he? I don't know.
I think he was born, my wife has found me close to Indianapolis.
Okay, well, I know he hung out there. Dillinger actually had several spots around the kind of greater area that he was robbing banks, obviously Northwest Indiana kind of being like the Dillinger, I don't want to say hot spot, but you get what I'm saying. So, yeah, that's the thing. And the place I went and visited Saturday, the Slippery Noodle Inn, was actually one of Dillinger's hideouts, apparently. And also, Dillinger was also buried in Indianapolis with at his family plot, or at least that's the story goes. There's a legend that might not be Dillinger's body in there, but that's a story for another day.
Yeah, because you always hear, you know, about East Chicago, the robbing of the bank, and Chicago, Chicagoland area. But when you do an investigation for a specific type of person like him, I know you're looking for any type of activity, paranormal activity, but do you kind of envision, when you're on a investigation like that, envision the way he was and look for signs? You know, maybe I'm getting too deep into it, but look.
No, that's actually a really good question, John. I appreciate.
Like, you know, the shooting and screaming, you know, the type of life he lived.
Sure. That's actually a really good question, and I'm happy to answer that. So when I do an investigation, it's rare that I look for somebody specific. And the reason being is because you don't know if that person's energy footprint was either big enough to be left there, or if there's a reason why they came back there. And it's this, so there's times when I don't go in there looking for one specific person, unless I know without a doubt that that place is haunted by said person, right? For example, when I go and I've done the Lake County Jail tour several times with Northwest Indiana Paranormal, Sandy runs a really good show over there. She's brilliant caretaker to the jail. But the Lake County Jail in Crown Point, Indiana, where Dillinger was kept and he had his great escape, that's, you know, world famous. I don't go in there looking for Dillinger because I know he's not there haunting the place. Dillinger wasn't there long enough to haunt. The same concept goes for if I went to the bank in East Chicago, if it was still there. I wouldn't go there looking for him. I don't think his time there was significant enough to leave enough a big enough footprint. And this is where you kind of get in a philosophical discussion about if you're believing that there's an intelligent haunting or residual haunting, or residual haunting meaning like a time loop, in which case maybe Dillinger's, you know, energy footprint was brief but significant enough to kind of run on a loop. But for him to have a full-fledged, like, intelligent haunting, probably not. So that's a good question, though. But, you know, and it's the same thing. I remember, and I'm not going to say his name, but there's a famous paranormal investigator who had a show about the old Joliet prison, and they went there looking for John Wayne Gacy's ghost. John Wayne Gacy was only there for a brief stint. The chances of him being one of the spirits that haunt that place are very slim to none. So no, I don't really go into an investigation looking for one specific person unless I know, okay, these are the stories that have always led up to this point. This is the spirit that hangs out there. So that's...
Well, your answer is very good, because then like you said, it determines the amount of time a person was there for you to actually look for something specifically. If he just came in and out, so to speak, there's really nothing there then.
Exactly. And you never know who else is hanging around there. For example, some of my best evidence I've ever gotten was at the Lake County Jail. And so I believe that there are spirits that hang out there. Now, whether or not for me to say that's John Dillinger, probably not. But I can tell you that I've had an interaction with other things there. So just because it's not the one person you're looking for doesn't mean you pass up on the other things that are hanging around there. Does that make sense?
Very much so. I really enjoyed that answer. Clearly.
So I'm going to bring you on an investigation with me. We're going to go to the Lake County Jail. We're going to bring John with us.
I think my mom would like that as
well. Yeah, let's bring the family. We're going to do Lake County Jail. We'll plan that out soon. I'll see if Pete and the gang can get everybody together.
Yeah, that sounds good. I enjoy that. So again, thank you for the answer. Enjoy the show and continue the good work.
All right, thank you so much, John.
All right, Bob.
That's the thing, Bob. I think you bring up a great point because I know a lot of people that do go to the Crown Point Jail stuff, they want that John Dillinger experience.
You are there for a really cool moment in history that is probably one of the most famous true crime stories you're ever going to see in your entire life. Probably one of the most famous jail escape stories of all time. Doesn't mean Dillinger's haunting there. He was only there for a very brief moment in when all things considered. If you think of places that Dillinger could be haunting, maybe the Biograph Theater where he was shot, perhaps his gravesite, perhaps one of his hideouts, the Slippery Noodle if he spent a significant amount of time there. Those are places I think that would be haunted, but you're not going to go to the Crown Point Jail and see the spirit of John Dillinger. And any investigator that's been there and done it, or even Sandy herself, will tell you, no, I don't think Dillinger is there. But still, it's a great story. I can't recommend going to the jail enough. It's such a cool place to be.
But here's the thing, Bob.
Hit me.
How do we know it's not a Dillinger spirit?
I never came across and said, this is Johnny, you know, investigative spots in his personal cell. I just don't think it's him. But we've had those other ones, like the one that hangs out in the isolation area. I can't remember his name offhand. The one that's in solitary confinement. Yes, yeah. I've seen victimize people.
At this point in time, Johnny Depp probably spent more time as John Dillinger inside the Crown Point jail cell.
For filming those scenes, I would say so.
And you never know, Johnny Depp might come back to hunt the Crown Point jail cell.
That's possible, yeah. But no, that's so give you a chance to check out the Crown Point jail.
Quick plug.
All right, Cow Panic.
Yeah.
Let's dive right into the lore of the week, shall we? How are you?
I'm doing good. Why? Do I need to be prepped for this lore of the week?
No, you don't need to be prepped.
You're asking me if I'm sitting down?
I'm just asking if you're okay. Okay. You know what? Listen, you and I are friends at the end of the day. You might be my producer.
Yes.
And, you know, you're the guy behind the curtain or
doing
glass.
Good.
But I still have to check in on you once in a while. Are you drinking enough water? Are you getting enough sleep at night?
No, I drink all this Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
I got to check in on you.
Well, thank you.
I feel like the fans don't get enough of the Bob and Panic interactions like off screen. So I just wanted to give you a quick check-in.
I know, but I got concerned because you said, are you ready for Lore of the Week? Then you said, how are you doing? Because I thought the Lord of the Week has something to do with me. Is it?
Nothing now. I mean, yeah.
Okay. So hit me with it, Bob. I'm ready. I am ready to hear about the Lord of the Week.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Do you like bars, Count Panic?
Oh, Bob, this is why you asked me if I'm okay. I do like bars, Bob.
You know, I feel like in a pre-pandemic world, if you even enjoy a cocktail once in a while, a bar has a certain allure to it, right?
Depends on the bar.
It depends on the bar. But there's a certain, like, energy inside the bar that you just kind of... It's kind of like that thing. Like, if you watch Cheers, and that's why so many people, I think, related to Cheers as much as they did when it was on TV. A little before my time, but I still enjoy Cheers a lot. The bar has either, you know, it has everybody's therapy sessions, so there's good memories there, there's bad memories there, there's sad memories there. Each one leaves a bigger and bigger footprint. So you got to think, when you think of places that could be haunted, things that come to mind are jails and prisons, right? And we'll count those as one and two. Mental institutions, hospitals, I'll say both of those are kind of one and the same too. And what would you think is another thing that would be haunted for the same similar reason why the precursor ones would be, right? Lots of energy, footprints being left
behind. Energy.
So in the case of a bar, lots of people are there sharing stories, right? And you have a lot of stories being told in one place, and energy kind of stays in there, and it's why you have a spirit. So I wanted to do an episode this week. I thought about doing a couple different bar stories. I'm like, no, I'll probably find one I could focus on. We haven't done a lot of ghost stories on the show lately, so I've been focusing on ghost stories during the past couple weeks. So I was thinking about what I wanted to do the episode on, and I came across one that I've never actually been to. So when I say, Count, where do you think one of the most haunted places in the world is? Where do you believe that is?
As far as maybe a bar goes?
No, in general, location, city.
General. Man. Most haunted place in the world.
City. What city is the most haunted city?
Oh, the most haunted city. Well, geez. You know what? Wait, I got an answer for this. Is it Milwaukee?
Why is Milwaukee?
I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of ghost stories in Milwaukee. Chicago?
Louisiana, man.
Louisiana.
New Orleans. New Orleans. Right. You go to New Orleans, there's paranormal tours 24/7,
that's
man. They run into each other.
They got a lot.
They got vampire tours. They got werewolf tours. They got witch tours.
There's some ghosts in Milwaukee.
Listen, there are, you know, I've been to Milwaukee several times, and I can tell you that place has got some spooky.
And there's a lot of bars in Milwaukee, too.
There is. We've been to several. Yeah. Shakers is one of them, and I almost did an episode about Shakers.
Yeah. But you're saying Louisiana, which does make sense. People like to go to Louisiana just for that paranormal experience, Bob. So you are, I would say you are correct with that. So
okay.
is this taking place in Louisiana?
This is. So our story this week is considered to be one of North America's most haunted locations. So we're talking tonight about the Lafette Blacksmith Shop and the Battle of New Orleans, kind of as a together
okay.
thing, because they both kind of correlate with one another. By the way, folks, the Lafette is spelled L-A-F-I-T-T-E. And I have listened to that be pronunciated to me several times because French is not my native tongue, but I listened to it. Lafette is what I was able to pronounce out of that, so let's move on.
Yeah.
For many years, and by the way, we're going to be starting this off with the New Orleans Historical Society website. Help me get some historical background behind this. So
they would know.
They're very good. If you guys are even remotely interested in the history of New Orleans, even outside the paranormal, their research is incredible. But let's move on. For many years, a bar called the Lafette's Blacksmith Shop has occupied this building at the corner of Bourbon Street and St. Philip Street. Designated as a National Historic Landmark in 1970, Lafette's Blacksmith Shop was built between 1772 and 1791 as a French colonial Louis the 15th townhouse of Burquette et Trente Poutoux construction. That's a mouthful.
That's not bad.
Are you proud of my French?
Yeah.
Let's move on. Legend suggests that Jean Lafette and his brother Pierre Lafette operated a blacksmith shop here as a front for selling goods and enslaved people they plundered of in the high seas. However, author Stanley Glitzby Arthur, who served as a regional director for the Survey for Federal Archives during the Depression, discovered the name Lafette never appeared in any of the property records for the structure. In his 1936 book, Old New Orleans, Arthur concluded that the name Lafette was misspelled and should have been spelled Lafette.
Hmm.
So instead of the L-A-F-I-T-T-E, it should have been L-A-F-T-T-E,
okay.
No I. New Orleans' notarial records, however, are literally filled with thousands of sales of enslaved people by Brother Pierre. Jean's signature appears not only occasionally, but in each case, the surname Lafette, land not Lafay, was an orthodox spelling by the signatory. In addition to his French Quarter location, the Lafay resided on the Barataria, an island located in the Barataria Bay close to the Grand Isle, Louisiana. This island was also called the Grand Terrain. Jean and Pierre Lafette and their privateers assisted Jackson and the Americans at the Battle of New Orleans. The Baratarians, as Jean Lafette and his followers were called, had been approached by British officials to act as allies and waterway guides. Acting as a leader for the Frenchmen of the Barataria, Jean Lafette advised American authorities of the British offer, ultimately securing Jackson's promises of amnesty for past offenses in return for siding with the United States and committing his men to battle. Louisiana Governor William C.C. Claiborne officially offered Jean Lafitte and his men full pardon should they conduct in the field to meet the appreciation of the Major General Jackson. Before reaching his settlement, several conflicting factors categorized the exchanges between Claiborne and Lafitte. On September 4th, 1814, Lafitte wrote Jean Blanc, a member of the Louisiana House of Representatives, informing him of the British officer, including copies of the British correspondence. In exchange, Lafitte asked for the release of his brother Pierre, who was locked up in Calaboose, or the city prison. Lafitte also wrote to Governor Claiborne that offering his services and those to his men to defend New Orleans, Lafitte asked Claiborne for a pardon for him and his men. "I am the stray sheep, wishing to return to the sheepfold," he wrote. Claiborne and his defense counsel voted to refuse Lafitte's offer as assistance. The United States Revenue Officer insisted that Lafitte be removed from the Barataria and his operation shut down. Coincidentally, Lafitte's brother Pierre escaped from prison. We were talking about prison escapes on September 6th, 1814. Less than 2 weeks later, on September 16th, 1814, the Carolina, an American schooner with 14 guns under the command of Command Daniel Patterson and six gunboats left New Orleans, sailed down the Mississippi and attacked the Grand Terre, Lafitte's headquarters. Lafitte's men, not knowing that the attack fleet was British or American, took the battle stations. The Carolina raised its flag, offering a pardon for deserters. The Barterian abandoned their vessels and without resistance. The Americans seized 8 ships, 20 cannons, and an estimated $500,000 worth of goods.
Wow.
And captured 80 Barterians, but didn't capture the brothers. General Andrew Jackson originally described Lafitte as a hellish bandit. However, Jackson finally accepted Lafitte's help in December 1814 because of the ammunition, canniers, and knowledge of the area that Lafitte can supply. The expert cannon fire of Jackson's troops, included with the Barratarians, contributed to the American victory over the British at the Battle of New Orleans on January 8, 1815. So impressed with the artillery skills of the Barratarian Demique U, the battery number 3, Jackson reported stating that before the battle, "I wish I had 50 such guns on this line, with 500 of those devils as those fellows at their as those fellows are at their butts." On February 6, 1815, President Madison issued a proclamation granting a full pardon to Jean and the Barratarians for their role in defense of New Orleans, stating in part, "Offenders who have refused to become the associates of the enemy in the war, upon most seducing the terms of the invitation, and who have aided to repel his hostile invasion of the territory of the United States, can no longer be considered as objects of punishment, but objects of generous forgiveness." So these two brothers, in layman's terms, folks, we'll summarize that up.
Yeah.
These two brothers weren't very good folk. They were, you know, pillaging the sea kind of for their own gain. And they knew the waterways really well because they were, you know, running the waterways down there. They were borderline criminals. And upon a raid from the American military, they kind of offered pardons. So they kind of surrendered. And they said, "I'll tell you what, we'll help you because we know these water better than anybody." So they assisted, yeah. They assisted the general to kind of battle the British that were coming in for the Battle of New Orleans. And their headquarters, their main bar, was the Lafitte's blacksmith shop, which in this case, the Lafitte's blacksmith shop was more or less a front. Now that you got the history out of the way, I feel like I'm Pat from Ghostly, just splurting some historical facts.
We
here.
Need to know some historical facts.
You do. You really need to understand the history behind the two brothers that were running this area, and why you would think they're haunted. Because when you go to a bar like this, once again, you believe that maybe the patrons made it, you know, haunted. But in reality, the history behind it might have caused it to be, you know, spooky itself. You ready for some paranormal background here?
I want to hear some.
Okay, let's talk about from Ghost City Tours, our old pals that helped us out with the San Antonio episode a couple months ago. When it comes to the ghost and hauntings of Lafitte, it comes to no surprise that the ghost often associated with this building is the ghost of Jean Lafitte himself. Interestingly, he appears as a full-bodied apparition. Full-bodied apparitions are not common as the movies would make them out to be. Most of the time, ghosts are just often seen as a mist, sometimes even as a shadow person. A full-bodied apparition would appear no different than you and I as a living person, except in this case that her ghost is dressed in sailor's gear. The ghost of Jean Lafitte has never interacted with anyone. He has never said a word to anyone. He simply just stands in dark corners staring at people until he's noticed, at which time the ghost disappears into the shadows. Now, this hasn't happened to just one or two times. It actually seems to be a very common occurrence here at the blacksmith shop. He is always seen on the first floor, most of the time near the fireplace that is inside. So, if you're going to New Orleans for another night, maybe you'll want to come hang out with your chance to get to see Mr. Lafay himself. Even if you don't have a run-in with the most famous ghost which haunts there, the atmosphere is great. This is just them kind of giving you a quick review of the bar. On the second floor of Lafay's blacksmith shop, there seems to be another ghost which calls the bar home. Nobody knows who this ghost is. We only know that it's a ghost of a woman. It could be someone who lived here. Rumor has it that there was a woman who lived there in the 1890s who killed herself upstairs. Mm. But unfortunately, there's no actual verifiable source, but there is apparently a woman that hangs out and haunts the second floor. The ghost is a little bit more mysterious. She is known to only show herself to people on a handful of occasions. However, she is very talkative. Imagine sitting in one of the rooms upstairs by yourself late at night and hearing a woman whisper your name in your ear. Now, that's kind of spooky. You're just laying in bed, catching a nap, and all of a sudden you just hear a disembodied female voice whisper in your ear. It's like, that's pretty spooky
stuff. That will wake you up, Bob. That will wake you up.
I would say so. Yeah. There's other weird hauntings that go on within this, what's called the blacksmith shop. It's actually a bar now you can go and sit in. Several of the fans that have been there, and they chimed in into the Children of the Night page, have all said, like, that been there. They said it's too busy to really get an interaction with a ghost. So that's, we don't really get a whole lot of, I haven't heard any eyewitness accounts, just kind of what I read. But next time when I get to New Orleans, I'm definitely going to have to check this place out.
Is that a thing, though? I mean, it makes sense, too, when there's no investigations going on when it's a crowded room.
Oh, and apparently it's one of those, it's one of those spots in New Orleans that's just insanely crowded.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's a paranormal tour that takes you there, but trying to get any legitimate research done, you're probably not.
No, for sure. Yeah. I mean, who could focus and concentrate? There's a bunch of people drinking and screaming and hooping and hollering, so best to have a quiet room to investigate it.
So, other than ghosts, there's another thing that supposedly happens at the blacksmith shop, and it happens to be phantom red eyes that just happen to appear and seem to be floating in a random spot throughout the bar. If you've ever heard the stories of the floating red eyeballs, a lot of times people say it's demonic. I think it's times just spirits trying to play tricks on you to really scare them off. It sounds to me like the spirits that hang out here are probably just the previous owners still hanging around. But I'm interested to hear your take, Count Panic.
No, I would say so too. I mean, that seems like a logical explanation. And as always, Bob, we try to think about the logical explanations first. So, in a bar, I would say you might be correct on that, Bob. I would say you're correct on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have would you go drinking here?
Bob, I would go drinking anywhere. Sure. I would take a chance, Bob. Again, what's the worst that could happen to you? You're just, drinking your favorite adult beverage. You might hear a woman's voice in your ear, but Bob, I don't think, what's the worst that could happen, Bob? It doesn't sound bad so far.
Well, let's just say you start staring at the fireplace, which is where they say the red eyes appear at. Do we have a caller?
Well, if I don't stare at the fireplace, am I good?
I mean, you might still see him. Do we have a caller?
I don't know who it is. You want to take it live? Take it live? All right.
Yeah, you're on the air, listener. I don't know who you are. We're taking it live.
Take it live.
Risky, risky in this business, but let's see who it is. Who do we have on the phone tonight?
Hey, Bob, it's Jack.
Jack! Yeah. Now, Jack, for all of you, though, yeah. Jack's one of my favorite paranormal researchers in the entire world. Jack and I chat on the regular, and he likes to call me late at night. Tonight, he's calling me a little early.
It is kind of early.
Now, before we begin, I know Jack has actually adventured and vacationed in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a chance to go to the bar?
I did, yeah. I was at the bar.
Oh, tell us all about it, because you're going to be the first person to give me a full-fledged description.
Yeah, it was pretty busy in there. It was dimly lit. I mean, there was like very little light in there. It was very like antique. They made it to be keep it that old feel. What's that word?
The old aesthetic.
But like rusty, rustic.
Sure, rustic. The aesthetic. I get you.
Yeah. So that's how it looked, and it was great, and. It just had a very interesting vibe to it, and maybe that was just all the girls that were there. But
now, Jack, don't be using Bob After Dark as a speed dating hotline here, pal.
No.
I'm messing with you, Jack.
But I met somebody at the bar actually, so that was cool.
Wow. Let's keep this PG, shall we?
Was she whispering in your ear, Jack?
Jack, can we behave the both of you?
Later on.
Hey, behave. Let's move on. Jack, I know you're about to drop some knowledge on me that I didn't mention, so let's hear this knowledge.
No, I just wanted to say that I've been to this bar. Well, I've been all over that place. It was great. Did we ever talk about New Orleans before? I don't remember.
I did the Louay Mansion episode once. That was a while ago.
I don't remember if I called and if I told you about my experiences in New Orleans.
I think we talked. Okay, hold on. Memory serves right. You spent some time there. And there were several tours you took, and then you were telling me that there's literally tours on top of tours and people are screaming over each other to get their words in sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So I did tell you.
But no, it's fine. Refresh the audience. We got some time to kill.
Sure. So when I arrived in New Orleans, and it was pretty immediate, especially when I went into the French Quarter, I don't know if the audience is familiar with ley lines, but just in case you're not, ley lines are this invisible grid that covers the earth, and it's an energy grid. It's an invisible energy grid. And when the lines intersect, because they go latitude and longitude, when they intersect, they're called these power points. A lot of mystical events happen at these power points. Actually, a lot of cathedrals, a lot of pagan temples have been built on these power points or along these grid lines. In Chicago, it's said that the Native American trails, which is like today's diagonal roads in Chicago, like Archer Avenue, Clybourne Avenue, Milwaukee Avenue, that these are ley lines.
Yes.
So I believe that New Orleans is one of these points, because there was I was getting pumped with all sorts of psychic energy while I was there, and it was really intense. You know how I am, Bob. I try to take a skeptical approach to things, even though I am a believer. But when I was there, like, it's almost as if I was getting glimpses at, I hesitate to say this, but glimpses at other times or other events that were taking place. It was really powerful.
Sure.
Even when I came back to Chicago, like, I was told by more than one person, they said that you seem changed. You seem more aloof. And I just kept thinking that, like, maybe for me, New Orleans was like a psychic battery charge, because it certainly seemed like it when I was there. They have not just ghost tours in New Orleans. They have vampire tours, and they have witch tours. They have voodoo tours. So New Orleans is just steeped with paranormal and with mysticism. So every block is haunted by something.
I've always heard that, and that's on my list of vacation spots. So I'm putting it on the, that's obviously on the high to-do list So, no, I will definitely go and visit New Orleans just to be able to say I drank some absinthe on the French Quarter. Now, that sounds fantastic to me, you know, hearing a jazz band in the rain or something. That would make my day. Not to mention to do some tours while I'm out there. That'd be pretty cool. Jack, when you were in there, did you see the floating eyes, by the way, in the fireplace?
No, I was too distracted.
Jack, you are, I'm wagging my finger at you, Jack.
I know.
So wait, I can't look into this fireplace if I go there?
Well, yeah, well, I mean, look at the fireplace, but apparently if you look at it, you're going to see some red demonic eyes floating, staring back at you.
Interesting.
No, I honestly did see the fireplace, though. And,
did they have it lit when you were there?
I don't believe it was lit. I do remember seeing other decorations there that seemed really cool. Like it was of those times. So it was just really cool. Like I said, very rustic, very cool looking place.
And we'll put that on the list. Jack, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
We might have to get a live show down there, Bob.
Hey, listen, New Orleans is on the list. That's a very important spot. I have two vacation spots in mind that I want to get done. Vegas for a certain somebody's museum. Yeah, I want to
really?
See it. Yeah, there's a lot of artifacts in there. I want to see the museum for the artifacts. Extraterrestrial Highway would be cool to drive on. Listening to Coast, like where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to like be out in that neck of the woods for it. So, yeah, Vegas and New Orleans are top two.
Chris Angel, we could go see a...
I'm good. I'm good.
You don't like magicians?
We have Joe Diamond on the show.
True, is he in Vegas right now?
Joe, I don't think Joe has a residency in Vegas.
Well, we got to see somebody in Vegas.
I think Cher has a residency
Cher.
In Vegas. I think Cher's got a residency in Vegas. Well, so Lady Gaga had one too, I believe.
Well, that would be the whole budget right there. Seeing one of those shows.
We got it. Just the Bob After Dark charge card.
Right,
we got
it.
Now, Kyle Panic.
Yeah.
All the spooky story that you hear about the blacksmith shop, would you go have a drink there?
Bob, again, I say yes, I would, because it sounds like quite the experience. Now that I know not to look into the fireplace, I think I'm going to be okay if I go there. And plus, I'm surrounded in company.
I think you just want the same experience Jack had. I was staying on the PG rating.
Jack is a man about town.
Behave.
A man about
behave,
town.
Behave,
a man about
behave,
town.
Behave, behave.
Sure. But yeah, I think I would go, Bob.
I think we need to plan a trip. Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I have not.
Okay, we need to plan a trip.
We should go.
We should go. I think it would be a good time. We'll get the Bob After Dark team. We'll round us up and we'll take a trip down there.
We could do maybe we could rent out a spot to do a live show.
New Orleans business folk, if you would like to book a live podcast about the Legends Lore and Supernatural, because I'm sure you've never gotten bothered by one of them before, let us know. We're a cheap date.
We'll do it.
We'll do it. Very cheap
we'll
date.
We'll do it. In your bar? Whatever establishment.
A bar, if you have a spooky nightclub setting, we're there.
Maybe as somebody that lives in
if somebody just got an Airbnb and they want to book us out, I think that'd be a
good house.
Time.
Yeah. Preferably with a jacuzzi.
You know, if I'm going there, though, I got to stay in the French Quarter, like in one of those kind of hotels, because I want my hotel to be, like, haunted.
You don't
want to
stay at the Best Western.
No, I am not going to New Orleans for the Best Western. No offense, Best Western. You should sponsor the show, but I'm going to New Orleans for the experience, man.
But, Bob, what if the Best Western is haunted?
Listen, in New Orleans, it would not surprise me to say that the Best Western is probably haunted. There's probably a reason for it, yes.
I think I've been in a couple Best Westerns that had some weird stuff going on. That's for another story. That's for the Best Western episode.
Best Western, if you're looking to sponsor a paranormal podcast about Legends, Lords, Supernatural, you can reach out to me at bob@bobafterdark.com, which, by the way, that email is open, everybody.
Yeah. No, it's live.
It's live. The bob@bobafterdark.com email is back, so you can email me at bob@bobafterdark.com.
Yeah. No, perfect. I'll email you later on.
I would appreciate it. You're actually getting your own emails.
Am I? Okay.
You're getting your own email address.
Sign me up.
Yeah, will you ever check it?
I'll check it.
I
got four different emails. I check them all.
Okay. Now, folks, before we say our goodnights, remember, the Bob After Dark podcast, for those that are coming back from the old days, pre us happening to redo everything. If you're not following us, you probably should, because I've gotten several people being like, wow, I didn't realize that we didn't resub once you started. It's a brand new RSS feed, which means you need to do a brand new subscription. So make sure you follow wherever you listen to podcasts at.
Yeah, no, it's a simple fix, Bob, a simple fix.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Kyle Panic, closing words.
Bob, this makes me, this episode puts me in the mood for some gumbo.
I was going to say absinthe, a Sazerac.
Yes, that's
have beautiful. You ever had a Sazerac before?
Can't say, what's in
oh
that?
Oh my God, it's liquor.
Just all of it?
Let me just roll with
there's
it.
There's got to be a recipe.
Roll with it. I'll all give right, you the Bob. Exact recipe for a Sazerac.
Bob's
going to
end
I'm gonna look this
with
up.
This with a recipe for this drink. I don't even know how you properly say it.
Sazerac.
Maybe I have to have
S-A-Z.
A couple.
S-A-Z-E-R-A-C.
Might have to have a couple before I pronounce that
now,
correctly.
Remember, folks, if you're going to drink a Sazerac, you got to be within the, you got to be with it over the age of 21 or wherever the consent legal drinking age is, wherever you're at.
I think in Milwaukee, it's 14.
It is not. Don't no. Make, we, hey, excuse
wait.
Me. We, I think
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin might be 16 with a parent, but that was a law many years ago. I don't know if that's still a thing. They might be 21, period.
All right. Well, drink
but
responsibly.
You got drink responsibility. Yes. Drink responsibly, one, to be of age when you're doing this. That's the thing. So a Sazerac ingredients typically are of the following. 1.5 ounce rye whiskey or cognac, 1/4 ounce of absinthe, 1 sugar cube,
what?
And 3 dashes of Peychaud's bitters.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I've had a couple Sazeracs in my day made perfect, made not so perfect. The trick with the absinthe is you actually want to dip your glass in the absinthe and you want to swirl the drink around and drink it around the rim. Because then it, like, hits the absinthe on the way up.
Okay.
Because you don't want to drink absinthe straight up. No. You will get sick.
But is this, like, a is this a normal drink I can go now to
no,
any bar?
No, you're not going to go to any bar. It's like a fancy thing.
Okay.
And I don't want to come off as a lush, because I'm not. But, you know, I've been to a fancy bar.
High
and
class.
I was taken out for my birthday a couple years ago by the Des Plaines Ghostbusters, and they introduced me to the Sazerac.
And from there, you never drink a common drink since.
I've had plenty of common drinks in my time. Just saying. All right, count closing words.
Yeah. Thank you all once again for joining the program. Good to have you with us. Again, another thrilling episode of Bob After Dark, Bob.
Absolutely.
10 out of 10.
Thanks, Count.
Yeah.
Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I just want to wish you good night. To my mom and dad, sweet dreams, and to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.